From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Should you feel the urge to relive the 2008 economic meltdown, you can just head on down to your local cinema. There's the movie Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, a fictionalized version of the meltdown, and that's playing now. And opening today, a documentary called Inside Job.
Share prices continued to tumble.
Lehman Brothers was forced to declare itself bankrupt.
The largest single point drop.
Well, our critic Bob Mondello says movie fact turns out to be more engaging than movie fiction, at least in this case.
You can't be a film critic for long without falling in love with the efficiency of documentaries. It took a half hour for Oliver Stone's fictional characters to make audiences indignant about credit default swaps in Money Never Sleeps, but pretty much any 30 seconds in the documentary Inside Job will make you want to throttle the nearest banker, broker, or economic analyst.
Bear Stearns, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, they knew what was happening.
What do you think about selling securities which your own people think are crap? Does that bother you?
Inside Job lays out the missteps of regulators, the greed of hedge fund managers, and the showboating of politicians so clearly, I couldn't help wishing it were opening in more than two theaters this weekend.
We had a whole group of people looking at this for whatever reason.
Excuse me, you can't be serious. If you would have looked, you would have found things.
What's striking about Inside Job is the company it's keeping at the multiplex, not just the education documentary Waiting for Superman and the war documentaries Restrepo and The Tillman Story, but also next week's unexpectedly riveting Gerrymandering, guaranteed to make patrons furious at the folks who draw the lines for voting districts.
Willie Brown recalls a gerrymandered district that was once proposed to help him win. At this point, the district was so narrow that it included only one lane and the center stripe of a San Francisco street.
Picasso would have been proud of the manner in which the lines had been...
Gerrymandering is an advocacy documentary, and its points are therefore arguable, I suppose. Panels that draw district lines might well bridle at the portrait it paints of their work, but having a point of view can make otherwise dry-sounding films awfully effective. An Inconvenient Truth, for instance, which jump-started a whole conversation about climate change. And documentaries are just one brand of fact-based feature. Audiences are currently puzzling out the truthiness of two Facebook flicks, The Social Network, a true story fictionalized that gets its facts mostly right, and Catfish, a true story not fictionalized in which you can't believe anything anyone says. There's also the faux documentary I'm Still Here, where actors play fictional versions of themselves.
Phoenix, Joaquin, Phoenix to see Diddy.
And biopics, where actors play real versions of people not themselves. The young John Lennon in Nowhere Boy.
I'm going to start a rock and roll group.
And the woman who owned history's greatest racehorse.
Secretariat is not afraid, and neither am I.
And then there's Howl, which takes a little bit from all those other forms to tell the 1950s story of beat poet Allen Ginsberg.
Would you say that Howl, the poem by Ginsberg, is obscene? Yes.
Howl employs actors, including a spellbinding James Franco as Ginsberg, to flesh out the poem and the court case surrounding it. It also uses animation to illustrate the poem.
Supernatural darkness of cold water flats, floating across the tops of cities, contemplating jazz.
Normally, you'd call Howl a biopic, not unlike Nowhere Boy or Secretariat. But Howl was made by documentarians, and apart from the poem itself, it takes its script almost exclusively from court and interview transcripts. You might call it an acted documentary, not docudrama, more a significant moment from a life recreated, a biomentary, maybe. Whatever, it's a trippy portrait of a time when poetry mattered enough that some people worried it could rend the fabric of a nation.
There are books that have the power to change men's minds.
The eternal war is here!
Let there be no running from non-existent destroyers of morals.
Oh, victory!
If Howl is scrupulous about getting its facts right, it doesn't pretend to be complete. Ginsberg's life was messy, and reflecting it too precisely would almost certainly result in messy filmmaking. Does that matter in a story about a real person? Well, I suppose that depends on where you stand. These days, billionaires like Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, who refuse to cooperate with filmmakers, are likely to discover that filmmakers are perfectly comfortable making things up, and that the public that goes for scripted reality shows and nature films that use trained animals doesn't mind when they do. For patrons, as for filmmakers, a good story is a good story. Of course, the facts remain the facts, for those who care to know them. I'm Bob Mondello.